Hey, we are live. My name is Dana. This is Jeffrey. And we're going to talk about stuff. And it might get uncomfortable, but we'll laugh at ourselves. And you're going to enjoy it. Maybe. I don't know. That was an intro.
It sure was.
It was spicy. It made me feel like I was in the 80s again.
Did it?
Nah. Maybe.
Speaking of the 80s, I was on TikTok today, and one of my TikTok buddies had, like, Richard Marx. Should have known better. And I was like, oh my God, that's such a good song. I've heard it forever. So why?
Oh.
I was in the shower. I had it on repeat. And I'm in the shower just like, should have known better. Just jamming out like a fool.
That's funny.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. Excellent. And then I'm like, isn't he like, I think there's something about him. I don't know.
I was, you know, in a similar fashion, I went to, I was listening in the shower. Like, I've been listening to music a lot in the shower because it, like, starts my day out, like, nice. And so, like, I was listening to some Dio the other day, and that got me, like, all energized. And then the next day, I went, like, a totally different route, and I started listening to Typo Negative. It's like, it made me all calm, and I talked really deep the rest of the day.
Nice. Yeah, I've always had a radio in my, like, bathroom so I could have music while I'm in the shower, because that's my, like, jam time.
Yeah.
I have to jam out. Blare it loud. Just jam. And I mean, how fun that it's evolved as far as it has. You know, it's definitely a bitch when you're like, oh, I got to make a CD anticipating what I'm going to want to listen to in the shower and the order I want to listen to it.
Now I can just be like, hey, Google, play this song. Oh, shoot, I said it, and it's listening. Hey, Google, never mind. No. There we go. Yeah. But anyway, it's that easy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a whole different world.
Yeah.
Like, Alexa. Oh, yeah. I don't have her on.
She ain't listening to you no more.
She's not plugged in.
So, what have you done? How is your life since last week?
Since last week.
Yeah. Has any entertaining things happened since last week that we should address in front of the audience?
We've had an event at the Blouse Barn.
Yeah.
Which was great. It was busy. It was wonderful. It went well. And then we've extended our paint and sip the beginning of October. It's now Friday and Saturday because Saturday started selling out. So. You can go to LakeviewBeautyBarBoutique.com and you can get that information if you're in the Missouri area. And then I'm excited because I'll be home soon.
Yay!
Yeah.
I'm gonna hang out with you. When are you gonna be back?
Oh yeah. Very beginning of October.
Awesome. We'll have to do a podcast where we both sit in the same room.
Well, we can start doing that every week.
Wouldn't that be weird?
I know. That's the crazy thing, right? Like, I won't be secluded away in the wilderness anymore. I'm like, oh my God, I'll be able to get delivery again.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be wild.
There's going to be so many more people for you to be able to avoid.
It's going to be an adjustment. I know.
Yeah, it's spicy.
It's a little scary, actually. I'm like, oh God.
Yeah.
I'm already like, I don't know about this living in the city thing now.
Yeah. Like, it's gonna be an adjustment. We're gonna, you know what?
I do love my neighbors though. I have great neighbors.
You're gonna have to get your backyard. We'll have to make like a little spot to sit out there. Have a little outdoor yard time.
I have a cement patio back there and a deck.
Yeah.
Don't use it.
Yeah.
I do. I shouldn't say that. I was, and then COVID hit, and that was the end of that.
Yeah. So, let's see. What did I do this past week? I've been going for walks. How exciting. That's why I wore my tank top. It was a little humid out, so I put on my tank top before I went for a walk, so I didn't get all sweaty.
Your tank top with your gay star tattoos?
There are. Are they? I don't know. They weren't when I got them, but I guess they can be. That's fine. I can make some muscle spec.
I say that with...
I'm a child.
Man-child.
That's fine. Well, let's have fun with it. So, that was a great segue into what we can talk about tonight. And what that is I think we're going to talk about self-awareness. Oh. Oh, boy. There's so many different ways. I've been thinking about this a lot, and I was reading about self-awareness and all the different facets to it. There's so many different things we could talk about with self-awareness. So, we can... But just because you didn't really prepare and think about this ahead of time, so this is just kind of sprung on you. So, let's see. What does self-awareness mean to you? Like, just speaking about yourself right now. Not how you think other people perceive self-awareness, but, like, just to yourself. Like, what do you think your own version of self-awareness is?
So, for me, it's kind of like checking my ass constantly, right? And all the things that I don't like about my behavior or how I handle the situation. And trying to just be honest with myself about my shortcomings. Or as I've gotten older now, it's trying to be honest with myself about the things that are okay. And the things that I do like. Which, you know, that's a definite switch, right? Because your whole life, my self-awareness was all the bad things. When everybody's like, oh, you're so confident, you're blah, 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 blah. And it was like, yeah, that's what you think.
That's my coping mechanism. It's working flawlessly.
Yes, yes, yes. You bought the bullshit. I'm so glad. Where's my Emmy? So for me, self-awareness is just being aware of how I'm treating other people, what I'm doing, how I'm speaking, and trying to reflect on how I'm acting, you know, I guess.
Yeah, I get that. That's pretty good. I mean, I think that's how, I think you touched on the two things that I'm probably going to talk about the most, or not the most, but the things that I kind of focus on, like, when I'm digging into it is, I feel like there's two versions of self-awareness. And what I mean by that is, I feel like there's an introspective self-awareness, like being aware of your internal, like, thoughts, being aware of, like, how you're almost like your thought mechanisms, like the way you go through and problem solve, or the way you address a social situation, or the way you tackle a project, like being aware of your own shortcomings, like you're saying, your own shortcomings, and being honest with yourself and being able to cope with your own setbacks and kind of cater more towards, like, your better attributes internally. Like, if I know that I'm somebody, like, see, like, with me, I had a pretty turbulent youth, so to me, it's difficult to address a problem until it becomes dire. Because as a kid, when you have issues and you need to address them, you can't. You're ill-equipped to deal with it. So you don't realize them until it becomes a big problem. And a lot of times, you can't handle the situation anyway. So you're left in your head to kind of think about what the problem is. And at this point, it gets frantic. Like, you're frantically searching for answers and trying to figure out a way to fix the problem. And the way that kind of transfers to when you're an adult is you procrastinate. Like, when it's almost like your mind can't enter a state where it can handle a problem until it becomes a dire circumstance. And one of the things I...
So true.
Well, yeah. And so one of the things I do to keep myself from procrastinating is I have anxiety. Like, I focus on how it's going to play out and what could go wrong and how am I going to have enough time to get this done? And I start to kind of freak out about a situation way in advance, convincing myself that it's dire so I can address the problem earlier and not procrastinate. So that's a fun one to try to work through. But that's just an example of like internal self-awareness. Like I'm aware of what I do internally and I can visually like kind of trace out the diagram in my head. Like as it happens, it's like, I have to do this thing. Oh, well, this is the part where I freak out. Let's go for that ride. I'm ready for it. And like, it makes it better. Like when you're aware of it and when you know it's coming, you're like, okay, yeah, I can handle this. I know what that's about. Okay. Like that's what I mean by like internal self-awareness, like being aware of like what right. your crap is about. Now, external self-awareness, I think you talked about this for a little bit too, is like being aware of like how other people perceive you, like your actions, like what you're saying, what you're doing, like how you want them to perceive you, and what your behavior actually puts out into the world. And I think that people kind of jumble the two together a lot more, and I think it almost helps people to like separate it into two separate things, like internal self-awareness, I need to be aware of what's going on in here, and external self-awareness, I need to be aware of what I'm putting out there about me. Because like, here's a great example, like you, Jeffrey, you've known me and we've interacted a lot, right? So in your head, you have a model of what you think Dana's all about, right? But you're not in my head. Mm-hmm. All you have right. to go on is my external self-awareness, like what I've put out about me, like the things I've said, the way I've acted, my mannerisms, like my actions, like how, like if you reach out to me and I get back to you or I don't, or if you need help with something, do I help you or do I don't, like... That's that kind of external self-awareness where I actively try to put out what I think is authentically me in my head. Like I mess up, just like we all mess up. Like when somebody gets angry or sad, I mean, they might act a certain way. They might be a certain type of, with me, like if I feel depressed or I feel down, I isolate myself. Like I do the opposite of what I should do to help myself get through a depressive state, is because when I was a kid, that's what I was left with. I was left alone. So when I was scared or lonely or depressed or sad, I default to that being alone because I just need to be inside in my head and figure it out because that's how I've learned to deal with that kind of feeling. And you have to be aware of it. So what you see of me is just what I've put out there. Like, you don't actually know me. Like, you've never been inside my head. You've never, right. like, actually, like, seen what it's like to, like, feel my feelings or, like, go, like, perceive a situation the way I perceive it, because you can't. That's just an impossibility. And it's the same reversed of you. Like, I know you just based on our interactions. And I think one of the nice things I think I like best about being friends with you or being friends with Kelly, being able to talk and have like a mutual understanding. And I think that's where it kind of bridges that gap between internal self-awareness and external self-awareness, or like making a meaningful connection with somebody. Like, I feel comfortable sharing vulnerable information with you or Kelly or anybody. Like, the people that I feel comfortable sharing vulnerable information with, I'm really letting inside that inner area, because I really, whether it's good or bad or whatever, I shut down that external self-awareness and say, you know what, I don't really care what kind of personality I want to portray to this person right now.
Right.
I'm seeking right now the kind of connection that I can only get through sharing this vulnerable information. I want them to feel connected to me, and I want to feel connected to them. And I hope that by sharing this vulnerable information with this person, that they show me that, one, they have the kind of personality traits that I need in a friend like that. Like, is this a person that's empathetic? Is this a person that's supportive? Is this a person that can can put themselves in my shoes, and this is a person that I can trust. Like, it's almost like a doing like a trust test, like you're or like a safety fall thing, mm-hmm. Where I wanna give a person an opportunity to succeed or fail in terms of like really getting to know what's inside me, and then I see if they share the same kind of information with me, and then that connects people. Like maybe you want to share a piece of information that you might not think is great. Like, what if I shared information with you? Like, I was like, wow, you know, Jeffrey, I really enjoy punching women. That's something that I really like to do. Secretly, I go out at night and I hire ladies of the night and I pay them to let me punch them. And that's what I do because I love it. Like, now if I shared, bear in mind, that is completely fictional and that never happens, but I'm just using that as example. I'll say something like where maybe I'm just share. I want to connect with you. I want you to know some vulnerable information about me, but I don't necessarily, not that, but what if you react differently? Like, what if I just say something to you and you're like, it gives you the icks about me. Like, I tell you something and you're like, ick, I don't like that about that person. Okay, well, that's something like, you'll want to know about a person, like when you're getting to know somebody or when you're forming a friendship. Like, those are certain things about people.
Yeah.
Like, if I told you something and you, that contradicted one of your core beliefs, or like it was just one of those things where you're like, I don't like that about that person. I'm glad they told me, but I don't like them now because of that. Like, I almost feel like that was still a success because it kept. It would keep two people from continuing a relationship that they really weren't geared to continue with each other.
Like, sure.
Like if you're dating a guy and you guys went on a date and he started telling you about like some of his personal information, he just said something about his history or like his past or something, and you're like, I don't like that. You would want to know that information, right? Even though it might be uncomfortable, like, it still makes a connection between you and another person. Like, when, I think as far as, like, self-awareness goes, when a person's willing to share, sometimes ugly information about themselves, and they know that it's not great, I think it almost makes it better. Like, it makes it almost more acceptable, in my opinion, because here you've got somebody that's sharing something that you know that maybe they're not proud of, or maybe they are proud of it, and they just want to see if you can accept that about them, or, like, just to see if you're the kind of person that's okay with that. I respect that a lot more than a kind of person that would be deceptive and just keep it a secret. Like, having that, I don't know, there's two different ways that being self-aware can be a positive trait and be a negative trait. I feel like some people that can be manipulative, they will take information that they don't think a person may like about them, and they may decide that, you know what, I'm just going to put that in the bank and I'm going to keep that a secret forever because I don't think that the kind of person I want to be with probably wouldn't like that about me or be able to accept that about me, so I'm just going to keep it a secret. Like, how are you going to form a meaningful relationship, or how are you going to form a connection with somebody when you're just not willing to share those parts? Like,
that's a big problem.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that some people have a certain amount of self-awareness where they know that what they're doing, like, they're less concerned about their image externally, and they're more concerned about making that connection. And then I think there's other people where their self-awareness keeps them from actually making meaningful connections because they feel like they can bend themselves to more scenarios or form relationships with people that they can get what they want out of easier if they know that they aren't putting out information that the other person might not like. That it almost gives them a greater opportunity to kind of mold themselves into what they think the other person will like.
Wants, yeah.
Yeah. I think having a strong sense of external self-awareness can be good and bad. Like, if someone's externally very self-aware, I think for somebody that is more empathetic, that tends to look for those kind of connections with other people, that their external self-awareness and internal self-awareness actually lets them be more vulnerable and make deeper connections with people. But I think people that are more, in it for themselves, I think they use their self-awareness to kind of wall off and kind of keep things secret and kind of be a little sneaky and kind of keep the opportunity open to change people's perception about them into what they need it to be at a later date or what they need it to be at a certain time or in a certain situation. And that, I think, is something I've learned over the past, the past decade of my life, like how to actually start looking out for that. When I was younger, I used to think that everybody was like me and they would just say how they felt.
No.
There's a lot of people out there that really just keep it really close. And I understand the point a lot with people like not wanting
to think
to
we're
share.
Weird.
Yeah. I understand the point of people not wanting to share like personal information about themselves because that's their boundary. Like, you know what? I'm not ready to talk about something like that. It's not to the point that they won't, but it's to the point where, well, maybe I'm not ready to talk about that yet because I don't feel like our relationship is to the point where we have that kind of connection yet. And that's respectable.
Right.
I mean, that's totally fine. I mean, it's interesting like with boundaries how they can be perceived really differently. And that's another part of self-awareness that I think a lot of people should be more aware of, and both internally and externally. Like, how do you think boundaries, both boundaries you set with other people and boundaries you set within yourself, like, how do those relate to... Oh no, did I do something?
Oh, just boundaries within yourself and boundaries with other people. It's just funny.
Is it? Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, have you worked on any like boundary issues with yourself?
I'm not. I'm trying. I'm not good at it.
No, it is hard. I mean, that's one of the things I meant, like, about having boundaries and being self-aware of, like, how you interact with people. One of the interesting things I think is, actually, it's really hard, is being able to be confident enough in the boundaries that you set to be able to maintain them with people, even when you know it might rub them the wrong way. It's like saying, here, you know what? I feel confident that this boundary is important to me to keep me emotionally safe, and it's important to me to keep myself out of a situation that could hurt me. This boundary is important to me because I am self-aware internally, because I know that if I violate this boundary, I could later do X, Y, and Z, or I could say this, or I could become emotionally this way because I did not pay attention to this boundary that I've set for myself.
Do you think that as you've gotten older, that age plays a part in this stuff?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Because I feel like every stage of my life, like every 5 years or something, like there's some epiphany about same stuff that it's like, I did not look at that way. I didn't see it that way. And I'm like, oh my God. How did I not know? How did I not see that?
I think it might have been about the same time for you, maybe not, I don't know. But for me, what started me on actually starting to think about my mental health and I guess almost like the meaning of life kind of questions was really having kids. I had such a crappy childhood, and out of all of it, I think the one thing that I always wished that I had was, like, a grandpa or a grandma, or, like, basically this old sage kind of character in my life where I could come to them with my problems and they would have wisdom for me, like real good information that they could share with me and help guide me through life in a meaningful way.
Is that a thing?
I wish it was. Apparently not. So basically, that was one thing I wanted more than anything, was to just have this like spirit guide that could answer my questions and help me internally.
It would be awesome, right? To have like, Yeah, right. I get it, but I don't think it exists. Like, I felt like I had to raise my grandparents.
That's the problem I run into, is it seems like every time I think I've run into this person that can share wisdom with me and can help me evolve and can turn me into, like, give me directions when things are hard, I always end up helping them and giving them advice and helping them through hard times, and it sucks. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, just for once, I wish I could have that person. So, after I had kids, I'm like, they need that person, and I have to be that person. So I started digging into, like, first I started learning about, like, quantum physics and all this stuff in terms of, like, I want to understand the universe so I can explain reality to my kids.
You've gone deep. Then
I started going into, like, philosophy and everything. Like, I started going into, like, ancient Indian philosophy and Confucianism and Taoism and Lao Tzu and, like, Marcus Aurelius and Stoics and, like, you name it. Like, I just went on all these deep dives into all these, like, major philosophical, like, schools of thought. Like, I am going to get wise. I am going to understand the meaning of everything, and I will be able to impart that onto my children. And one thing that I've noticed more than any of it is that stuff is all super helpful, but until you figure out your own personality and start to analyze yourself and really become more in touch with the broken pieces in your head and how your brain actually functions, having all that information is completely worthless. Like, you don't know how to implement it. You don't know how to, like, these different philosophies and these different perspectives, you can't internalize that unless you understand the functions that are going on inside your head. You can't
do shit with it.
And so that's what turned me into this whole, like, I started going into, like, psychology everything. Like, now I'm just, like, deep diving in, like, psychology everything. Like, cognitive behavioral therapy, like, dialectical behavioral therapy, internal family systems. Like, there's so many different types of therapy. Like, it's awesome to me because I actually, like, I listen to books on tape rather than reading because I constantly have to be doing other things while I'm learning. Like, so I just put on my headphones and I just do something, like exercise or whatever, and I listen to the book on tape. But I think those aha moments that you're talking about, like, I get them all the time when I'm listening to these, like, psychology books. It's like, all of a sudden it's like, wow, that's why I do that. Holy crap, that makes sense. And then I can fix it by doing this. And, like, it's amazing to me. Like, that's one of my new favorite aha things, is that I can actually understand myself now.
I think it's a lifelong journey.
Yeah, absolutely. So age definitely plays a role in it, but it all started just because of, like, kids. Like, I wanted to have that wisdom for my kids when they come to me with hard life questions and, like, they need advice about, like, how to handle a difficult relationship or, like, a problem with a person at work or, you know, all the stuff that I always wanted somebody to help me out with, and I just didn't have it. There just wasn't anybody there. And you know what? Maybe there's going to be times where my kids have to take my phone and fix it for me, because by the time I'm 70 years old, what is a phone going to be? I don't even know. That's crazy to think
so
about.
Right that we're going to be those ones.
We're going to be that eventually, yeah.
That the kids are going to have. But then I'm like, no, because we're hip, right? So I think of, like, the people that are in their 50s. They're still with it. They still got it.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I mean, I'm pretty adaptive to technology as it stands right now, but I don't know. I think I don't know what.
Think about it. Most 50- and 60-year-olds are still easily adaptive to today's technology, to the apps, TikTok, Facebook. They're figuring it out. It's the 70 and up that struggle.
Yeah, I think they're great at it as long as it involves a social aspect. And as soon as it doesn't, they don't know how to do it. Like, if it gives them a way unless to get a hold of their friends. Like, I don't know how this works, but I can use Facebook. Like, right. No, I need you to attach that picture to an email and email it to me. Well, I can't do that. How do you do that? That kind of stuff. But yeah.
That's like me hooking up all the electronics now. I'm like, okay, 30 years ago, I had two VCRs hooked up to one TV that involved like 19 cords that I could record two shows at the same time.
Yep.
But I can't hook up four things with four cables.
I got good at that, yeah. I remember those days. You had the RCA cables coming out your ass, and you're like, oh my God.
And you had the two, I had two VCRs hooked up, and then the PlayStation and the Super Nintendo and the Nintendo 6. All these things were hooked up. Millions of cables didn't faze me. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm like, all I have to do is an H. I can't handle it. I can't. I'm like, no, I can't do it. No, don't call me. Call somebody else. They're like, it's one cord. I'm like, I can't do it. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's just because I'm like, no, somebody else. It's somebody else's turn. I did it when I was younger. I was like, it's not labeled orange, yellow, and white. I can't. I don't understand it.
Yeah, going on a side tangent, like, one of the things I hate is when you think you have it figured out and you don't, and they make camouflage wires. Now, it can look like I've got, like, here I've got, like, a normal micro USB cable, but this one doesn't transfer data, it only charges. But why? It looks like it transfers data. It looks like all the other ones that do. No, it only charges. Okay. And then they've got this other one. It's like, all right, well, this one, I can plug this end of the HDMI cable into the TV and the other end of the HDMI cable into this thing. And I should be able to turn the TV on and off because it can do that through the HDMI cable. No, not this HDMI cable. You got to get the different HDMI cable that can turn off the
TV.
You
see, I can't. Then you got to have all these adapters. And like, I bought this thing.
They trick you. Like, some of them can, like, they look the same, and then some of them can do it. Some of them can't. They put, like, hidden features in them. That's what drives me crazy.
See, no. Just give me my yellow, white, and red.
Yeah. You need to connect three wires, and those three wires work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Every time. Mm-hmm. They're going to work every time. It's color-coded.
Have you ever done this one where you don't have the wires, but you've got, like, a different wire? Like, you've got, like, headphone jack cables? Here's what I used to do. If I didn't have the right wire, I would take, like, a headphone jack thing, and I would wrap the end of it in aluminum foil, and I'd jam it in the hole. And then I would take another one, and I'd wrap the outside of the RCA plug in aluminum foil, and then I would pinch it to another headphone jack, and I'd run that to the thing, and it would work.
I'm just thinking you were going to go, like, I'd get the gold ones that didn't have the colors, you know what I mean? And then you'd really have to, like, you were living on the edge, man, because you were like, okay, they're all gold. There's no yellow, no white, and you got to figure this out.
Yeah, you've got to trace the wire from one end to the other end and make sure that you've got the right one of them that hits the, fun.
Yeah, that was a good time. Especially if you had, like, Nintendo, Sega, PlayStation. If you had everything, you it was a challenge. Or then you had to, like, unplug shit because there wasn't enough holes. I hate when that happens.
I know, it's a struggle.
It really is. It's nothing like going to an orgy and there's not enough holes.
So, speaking of therapy, at what age, when do you think it became, I guess, not even socially acceptable, but almost like a quality that you looked for in a person, that they went to therapy? Like, Like when you're making a friend and you find out they go to therapy, when did it flip the switch to you're like, I like this person. They want to make themselves better.
Probably instead my 30s. Instead
of like you hear somebody goes to therapy and you're like, oh, they have problems. That's sad. I wonder how, I hope they feel better soon. Like and now it's like I hear somebody's going to therapy. I'm like, good. That's great. Awesome.
I don't know that I ever judged anybody going to therapy because I took a turn in it real young, and I just
I never judged anybody negatively for going to therapy, but I would be like, oh, they go to therapy, they must be going through something hard. Like there was just that thing in my head.
I didn't think that because I went at like 16. Mm-hmm. They tried putting me on Zoloft, and it was a horrible. I'm like, I didn't get happy, I didn't get sad, I just ran program. I hated it.
Yeah.
And then I went to this like therapist, which I don't even think she was a therapist. I think she was just, you know, so whatever. It's just terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, it took me to like, I think pretty sure she was a lesbian. And she's like, you know, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? And I'm like, I have no time. I do everything for everybody. You know, I was the good little Catholic boy then. And so she does a pie chart to tell me I don't have any time for myself.
Okay.
I walked out of there and I was like, I'm never coming back here again. This chick's an idiot.
Yeah.
I was like, we spent an hour. She did a pie chart to tell me I don't have any time for that's what I told her.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to know how to stop saying yes to people.
Oh, yeah. That, you know, some of the worst therapists that I've ever been to, they're just, you know, I understand the idea that a therapist, in a lot of respects, is to ask you, they kind of, when they get lazy or when they don't know what to do, they tend to just sit there and let you talk about yourself. And they'll ask you a few guiding questions to hopefully, like, help you uncover something about yourself that maybe you didn't know. But generally, they just sit there and they let you talk. And those are the most worthless therapists. Oh my God. Is the whole, in my opinion, a good therapist is somebody who will listen to you, be able to form a pattern of like behavior in their head, be like, oh, well, this is clearly this kind of behavior. Okay. And make a note of it. And then this is another kind of behavior because of this. Okay. Make a note of it. And then they should be able to coach you in ways to make your behavior, make your emotional states better using your personality or your coping mechanisms or whatnot. Like, tailor something to be able to give you advice to actually, like, improve your mental situation in some way. And I hate to say it, but I don't know. I've had probably half a dozen different therapists that I've gone to, and only the one that I'm seeing right now actually does that. Like, she actually talks to me like a human being and says that, like, she'll stop me in the middle of a story or something that I'm telling her, and she's like, that's crap. You can't, no, don't do that. Like, that, you can't behave that way, and you know it. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, what do you mean? And she'll explain it, like, yeah, you're just, right now you're falling into a victim situation. Like, you're feeling like things aren't fair and this is whatever. Like, that's your narrative right now. You're falling into that. You got to knock that off. That's, we all have problems. So stop it. Like, like, she'll say tough stuff and I'll be like, wow, you're freaking right. You're absolutely right. That's spot on. Like, yes, I need to hear that sometimes. Thank you. Like, and I respect her for that. But that's one of those things, like, where this person is aware of my type of personality. She knows what she can get away with saying to me. And two, she will share information with me that I don't want to hear. Like, when I go down one of my self-deprecating spirals where I'm like, well, I'm just a piece of crap. I'm never going to get better at whatever. My situation's not going to improve, whatever. And she's like, I know it feels that way right now, but you're being stupid. I'm like, oh, well, all right, okay, thanks. Needed to hear that. Reframe, you know.
But, thanks, bitch.
Yeah, and I love it. It's great. And it's nice to actually have a therapist that will call me out on my crap. Because mm-hmm. that's where the core of our suffering comes from, is our internal crap. And we need to be made aware of it, whether it sucks to hear or whether it, I mean, having a therapist that just sits there and be like, okay, how do you feel about that? Have you tried exercise? Here.
Oh, God.
Are you trying to eat clean? How about trying to get more sleep? Do you need a prescription for something to get better sleep? You'll feel so much better if you get more sleep.
Like, no, I want a therapist who's going to be like, listen, boo, I don't know how to do this delicately. This is my nature, but honey, you're off your fucking rocker. You need to calm the fuck down. Go take a happy pill. Take a shower. Go put on some happy music and relax.
Yeah.
You know,
sometimes you need to do that.
Yeah, just brutal honesty, you know. But I think too, that's why it's so important to have friends that are like that, you know. Mm-hmm. Because who wants that friend that's like, "Oh, do I look okay on this? Yeah, you look great." When you really look like shit.
Yeah, that's a friend. I want the friend to be like, "I want my friend to be like, hey, dude, that shirt makes your tits look like you got poochie nipples, and you need to throw that in the garbage." And I'd be like, "I really appreciate you telling me that because I needed to know that, and I will never wear the shirt again."
And that's why I have such an issue with like today's generation and like the sensitivity thing, and you know. And I'm like, you're just sugarcoating each other's shit. You know what I mean? You're being overly. And I understand about, you know, you don't want to.
Yeah, you don't want to shame somebody, and you don't want to be like, you don't want to hurt them, but
right. So intention matters, and at the same time.
Yep.
Like, oh, well, we shouldn't care what other people think of our bodies. Right. But at the same time, we should care what we look like when we walk outside.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're 300 fucking pounds, you shouldn't be wearing a cami with your gut hanging out. Like, it's just, it's not cute.
I mean.
You know.
And not to a lot of people, but.
No. No.
Okay.
Rihanna's lingerie
that
she made that was fishnets that go up to 4X. It's not. No. Who's
so you're saying that? Is there should be weight limits on certain tiers of clothing?
I mean, whatever you do in your privacy, your own home is your business.
I'm just saying,
like, just don't, you know, like, don't wear that out in public and think you're going to get a good reaction.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know what I mean? Like,
that is a great example of external self-awareness. Like you need to be aware of yourself.
Like, absolutely. There was some chick on TikTok. She's, like, talking about the homeless shelter and how, oh, the food they serve here is terrible, you guys. Oh, my God, I'm a diabetic. I'm this, blah, 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 blah.
Great, but it's free.
And she points down to the food. She's like, this chicken, it's so dry. There's no spot, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, a pork chop and vegetables.
Yeah.
And it actually looks really good, right?
Yeah, sorry. It's free.
And she's just like bitching and whining. And it did not go the way she thought it was going to go. Right?
No.
Everybody's like ripping her apart in the comics. And she's sitting there on her phone. Like, what, you know, she's got all the piercings. Yeah. Her nails are done.
Let me show you my SpaghettiOs and a hot dog dinner over here. And you let me know which one you're going to eat.
Right, you know? Right. People were pissed. And I'm just like, that's the difference, right? That's the thing. Like, you're entitled to thinking that that shouldn't be served to you.
Let me tell you, you just touched on something. Entitlement and self-awareness. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. One of the things that really gets... I mean, I've gotten so much better at controlling it now that I'm older, but entitlement really makes me angry. Like, it makes me furious. Like, when I see somebody, especially somebody who feels entitled to something that's just completely unjustified, like that Karen that walks into this door and just needs to talk to the manager because she feels entitled to have gotten something a certain way, and I just, like, nothing makes me feel better than one of those people getting shut down. Like, oh boy.
How are we friends?
What do you mean?
I was just throwing a slam at myself about how entitled I am.
You're not. You're not entitled.
Thank you.
Caring for yourself and being able to ask for help is an entitlement. Like, those are things that a normal human being can do. Like, there are certain things that we are entitled to. Like, we're entitled to, like, respect, and we're entitled to, like, go out in public and be able to interact with people without dealing with nightmares. But, like, I'm talking about the people that are just ugly levels of entitlement. And, oh, boy, I do not like that. Like, I'm always the person that, like, it's so counter to my own, like, views of myself. Like, I'm always, like, I want to make sure everybody else is taken care of, and I don't want to take the last of anything because I don't want to make anybody upset. Like, I'm, like, in the back, like, oh, it would be nice to have a convertible, but I don't need that. Or, like, I bought myself this thing because I thought I wanted it, but now I feel like it's too much, and I feel I'm ashamed about spending money on this thing, and I shouldn't have bought these pants. I didn't need these pants. Like, I'm so, mm-hmm. I'm the opposite. Like, I'm like, I don't feel like I deserve anything. And so when I see somebody on the other end of the spectrum that's like, oh, I deserve it all. I want it all. Like, I need more money. I need a boyfriend that'll buy me everything. I need friends that will pay for my drinks. And, like, those people that just, like, they feel like they should just have everything. Oh, it feels gross. Like,
I mean, all those things sound great, though, Dana.
They do.
I mean, I would love a boyfriend to buy me everything. I'd love my friends to pay for my drinks.
All right, but do you feel that...
what was the first thing?
All right, but yeah, that's great. But do you feel like there's something wrong with the world when you don't get that?
No, because to me, like, I'd rather take care of my people, right? Like, that was always my thing. Yeah, so, no.
Yeah, like, you're not...
No, angry, it feels wrong. Right? It feels wrong. Like, I don't know how to not pay. Like, mm-hmm. That makes me uncomfortable.
Yep.
And it usually puts me in a situation I shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Because it's like, no, I gotta pay.
Right. Right. And I look at, like, some people where it's like, I don't know, like, the stay-at-home moms that, like, they just spend all day, like, shopping and going out with their friends and spending their husband's money when, like, he's trying his best, and the people, like, I don't know, even to the point, like, here's one that gets me, then I get mad.
Horrible example.
Oh, is it? I don't know.
A stay-at-home mom who's raising the kids, cleaning the house, and cooking?
No, not that stay-at-home lady. I'm talking about the lady without kids that doesn't work, stays home, and spends all her husband's money.
There you go. Okay.
I'm sorry. Did I say stay-at-home mom? I mean, whatever. But
yeah,
here's the one.
Stay-at-home. Yeah.
Yeah, the stay-at-home trophy wife. A kept spouse. Yeah. Like.
Gotcha.
I don't know. Like, when I was a stay-at-home
sugar baby.
Like, one of the things I did is, like, I felt like I constantly needed to contribute, like, something money-wise, and I'd be like, maybe I can make one of my hobbies into an income. And I'd be, like, selling stuff on Etsy and, like, trying to make...
Resonate and flow.
Right, yeah, I just selling, like, jewelry and stuff. I'm like,
they
I'm, like,
still can, pop up on my I can Facebook.
Make, I can make this thing and sell this, and maybe somebody will buy it, and I'll get a little money I can contribute. Like, I always
I never
felt like
did
I
did get mine.
I can make something. I don't know.
Very upset.
But, like, yeah, that was one of my things. It's like, I always felt like I had to do something. And, like, I see, like, the entitlement, like, when I see, like, this little woman that's, like, I don't know, all by herself, and she drives, like, this $80,000 Chevy Tahoe or Escalade into the Wegmans parking lot, and she's the only one in the car, and I look up at her, I'm like, my car gets 3 times the gas mileage as this car. My car costs 1/4 the amount that this car costs. What makes this person feel entitled to use the amount of resources as 3 of my cars and spend money that you could buy a house with just to take her single self to Wegmans to buy groceries in the back? Like, how does she feel entitled to use this many resources when there's so many people out here that are going without? Like, why does she feel entitled?
Because it makes her feel safe.
Right, but what part inside
status.
Her brain? What part inside her brain can let her look around and be so not self-aware to be able to see that she's consuming what 4 people should be able to have for their resources just because she feels like she deserves it? And I look at that and I'm just like, that's gross. Like, that is gross to me. And I'm like, nope.
Okay. Never show up to Dana's house in a Suburban. Gotcha.
It's just one of my things. It's just one thing I have. Like,
it is obnoxious. Yeah. Like, people that spend $300,000 on a car, I'm like, I don't know if I had $1 billion in the bank tomorrow. $300,000 on a car when there's starving kids in the country just seems kind of fucking nuts.
Yeah, it feels gross.
I do get you. I do get you because it does, like, I don't know. There's so many people I can take care of. So, yeah, it's a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah,
like, but then I get you. Like, you make your money, you earn it, spend it how you want. I don't know. It's.
Yeah, I just.
Not everybody's the same.
Yeah, it sucks. Like, I mean,
some people spend $30,000 a year on OnlyFans, you know?
Yeah, and it's not even like I can look at something like that and be like,
look at Luke.
I don't know Luke.
He's on the Thursday show.
Oh, and makes money on OnlyFans?
No, he spends that much. You know, he pays for all this. I have no idea.
How does he make that much money?
I'm just kidding. I'm just not, you know.
Well, I mean, at least he's given it to somebody who's providing a service.
You can ask him in a few weeks when he's there.
I guess I'll have to. I'm going to have to do some probing.
Yes. Yes, I'm sure he'll want to do some as well.
Yes, excellent. So, here's shit, where'd it go? I had a thing, and then the probe made
sorry, it. Sorry, I'm sorry, I'm
sorry. Oh.
Such a great friend.
Dang it. Dang it, my train of thought.
Oh, gosh darn it.
Oh, what was it? Oh, jeez. Oh, man, look at that farmer tan. That's gross. Ugh, there's some self-awareness. jeez. All right, so we're talking about entitlement, spending money.
Suburbans.
And then Suburbans, and then...
$80,000 vehicles.
Yeah, well, oh, that's where I was going to go. It's like, where... You know, and I think about sometimes, like, it would be nice to just try, have a day of treat yourself. You know what I mean? Like, just have one day of just, like, living, like, the 1%. I'm gonna rent a Ferrari and drive this Ferrari to this place, and I'm gonna get a handmade suit tailored on me, and then I'm gonna go out to dinner where they make the food and cook it right in front of me with my own private chef. Like, I think it would be cool to just try that for like a day, but I could never live that lifestyle because I would feel like such a piece of crap.
But you say that now, however. You know what I mean? If you have $1 billion and you're giving millions away, you know, I don't know. Would you feel that guilty? Maybe not. You know, if you're doing a bunch with that money, would you feel that guilty if you were able to treat yourself and the people you care about?
I still think I would. I think I would still look at myself and be like, you know what? I have way more than I need.
I don't know. I definitely would never blink twice about having a chef.
I don't think I could do it.
I can have a chef.
I think part of what makes me feel good is learning skills and accomplishing things and doing things for myself.
So, would you like not ever get on a private jet?
I mean, I wouldn't own one, but I would get on one. I would probably ride in a private jet just to be like, what's it like? You know what I mean? I mean, I would want to try it. Like, who wouldn't want to try it? If you have an opportunity to try something bougie, why wouldn't you try it?
But
like,
I mean, I you know, I've got to do that, all those things, and it is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
When everything in front of you is comped, and you can have anything your heart desires. I didn't want anything. Because it's like, I don't know. It's such a weird thing to describe, right? I sat there. I could have whatever I wanted. And it was like, it was almost overwhelming, right? Yeah. Like I could have went balls to the wall and I didn't because it was just, it seems crazy to me. A $75 glass of champagne is outrageous. Outrageous. Yeah. And two, like in Katrina, she always gets so mad at me because she I really hurt her heart when I told her Dom tasted like shit. I mean, you would have thought that I slapped her in the face. Yeah, yeah. I mean, she didn't really taste like shit, but I'm like, I don't know. I mean, for that kind, it wasn't all that great. I'm like, yeah, you know, we went, I don't know what the hell we were doing. It was with the sub shops. And we were somewhere with somebody big wig, you know what I mean? And we got like, I don't know, $600 bottle of wine. Uh-huh. And of course, like my asshole self that I am, I was like, ah, this tastes just like that gallon jug, you know, that Carlo Rossi, you ever tried that? I'm like, this reminds me just of that Paisano. Oh, and the freaking one dude, he just is like, oh my God. And I'm like, but here's the thing. I was being dead serious. Yeah. That $600 bottle of wine tasted like Carlo Rossi, the $18 gallon jug.
That's what I'm talking about.
Like I'm like, that, for $600 for a bottle of wine?
Yep. Yeah. I have a hard time with it.
So like, for something you're going to drink?
Yeah, it's just going to be pee soon.
I don't.
Yep.
I mean, you know, once in a blue moon, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, to get a high-end bottle of whiskey, sure. You know, but something to do on a regular basis, absolutely not.
Crazy.
No. No.
So, all right. So, speaking of entitlement, oh, shit, we're, like, done. We're, like, at the end. We can keep going with this. Like self awareness was a good one. We could make a two parter out of this one.
Self awareness part two.
We could do that. Shoot, I didn't even notice what time it was. I just looked at the clock because I was going to go off on another tangent, and I'm like, "Wow, we can't do that."
we'll have to remember next week. Uh-oh. Part two.
Yeah, we'll do that again. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Or maybe we could do one on we'll continue down self awareness, but we could do a lot on
entitlement.
Yeah, that's another good topic. We should have maybe kept that one for its own. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe we could talk about a bunch of people we know that are fucking entitled bitches. I say that with love.
I've kind of isolated myself from people like that.
I don't really know anybody anymore. Yeah. I don't know that I ever was really had that many people in my life that were that entire. You know what I mean? It wasn't really my kind of group.
Yeah, where I was going to go was like with like entitlement, as far as like people who feel entitled to put their needs in front of you, like the like would get in front of you to get dinner first, or like get in front of you to get a job interview, get in front of you to talk to somebody that.
Yeah, that's its own show because we can unpack that bitch for a while.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's why I started. I'm like, I got a good one, and then yeah, that could be a whole thing.
Yeah, like that's some crazy to me. The food thing, right? Right when you were like, oh, I, you know, you never think the last of something, right? Because. Mm-hmm. Somebody else might, you know, what if they're still hungry? Like, I'm fine, I'm fat, I'm good, I don't need it.
Yep. And see, I'll even do, like, with leftovers. Like, if something's in the fridge, I'll wait till it's, like, ready to be gross. And I'll be like, you've had a lot of opportunities to eat this thing. I'm going to eat it now because it's going to go bad and it's going to get thrown out and I can't let that happen. Like, that's, I'm like, this is really good and I got to at least make sure somebody likes it. Like, I've... That's where there's like this line in here. I'm like, it's been 5 days.
5 days?
Yeah. What?
5 days?
Well, yeah, you can keep something in the fridge for 5 days.
Yeah, Jesus. Oh my God.
What?
No.
Why?
No.
Well, I do that sometimes to like meal prep. Like I'll make like 6 chicken breasts or something. So I've got like a week's worth of chicken breasts I'll put on my salad or something. What? No. Crap. I must have messed up.
It's fine. You're eating it. You're fine with it. It's okay. That's yeah. You, I have one of those quirks, right? Like I'm a fucking nut about it. But all I think right. It's because of the food service thing, right? I'm like 3 days and it's got to go. And I can't even usually make it to 3 days. I'm usually like 2 days and up.
See, I feel like it can even be extended out to a full week because if you microwave it, the microwaving it kills all the germs.
I can't. I don't know what it is. But I'm really finicky, though. I'm real finicky about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm real, you know.
I can't eat ugly food. Can you eat ugly food? Like, you get an ugly carrot that's got a big scar down the side of it. Do you just throw it away?
I'm actually really getting better about it now. Like,
what if you get a big black spot on a banana? Yeah, see?
I grew peppers. I had a black spot on my pepper, and it was soft. Mm-hmm. I cut it off, and I did it. And then I had tomatoes. Mm-hmm. There were some, they just were not cute. And I used them in my sauce anyways. I was so proud of myself. And I was like, you grew them, you're eating them, damn it.
Yeah, good job.
Mm-hmm. I know, yeah. It was so weird. They were so fresh.
I get, like, we've got, like, because it's been so dry up here, all the little cherry tomatoes are split open. And I'm like, I can't eat it. I can't eat the split open cherry tomato. It's like the insides are out and then the bacteria got in. I can't eat it.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's like a glass of water sitting on the bed overnight. You can't drink it in the morning. It's got amoebas in it.
That's why I've got all the lids on everything. Yeah. I put the lids on it so it keeps all the stuff out.
Well, even if a water bottle has sat on the bedpost for like 2 days, you can't drink it.
Oh, no. No, 2 days is too long.
Yeah. Well, no.
Overnight, I'll drink it in the morning as long as it's got a lid on it because I know no cat feet went in it. But, I mean, as far as the no, somebody who just puts an empty, like an open glass on top of their headboard overnight, and then the next morning they drink it, they're
savage.
They're a superhero. That is a superhero level thing to do. Nope.
It's not okay.
Not okay.
Not okay. We gotta go.
Yep, we do. Well, I hope everybody has a lovely evening. Practice your self-awareness and be awesome. Oh, yeah, we got to push the button. Too.
And then make sure you tune in tomorrow for something. I don't know what it is, but there'll be a show.
Yeah, Jeffrey will be there. He'll be talking about stuff. Have a great night. I don't know. I'm going to end the broadcast. All right, so I just...